Happy New Year, everyone! It's January 3rd, 2022. You're listening to the Dispatches from the Center of New Jersey podcast. My name is Oleg Dulin, and I'm your host. One of the goals for this podcast is to raise public awareness of local government and local politics. For today's episode, I reached out to the East Brunswick Mayor, Brad Cohen, to be a guest on this podcast for a weekend morning coffee chat of sorts. Perhaps we can even make it a regular feature. We recorded this conversation right before the December 2021 Christmas break. Mayor Cohen became the mayor of East Brunswick in 2016, having won 54% of the vote. In 2020, Mayor Cohen got re-elected with 65% of the vote. He is clearly a popular mayor who is proving his commitment to the residents of this town, regardless of their party. Mayor Cohen has been a consistent advocate for the interests of East Brunswick. In the past 5 years, we had very little property tax growth. I personally like Mayor Cohen's commitment to parks, the outdoors, and as an avid cyclist, I particularly enjoyed the bike lanes that are getting installed as roads get paved. Good morning, Mayor. Thank you for joining me.
Good morning, Oli. Thanks for having me.
Hi. You know how I know it's...
I don't see your coffee now.
Oh, well, it's right here.
There you go.
In my Star Trek mug. It says to boldly go where no man has gone before.
I like that. That's yep. The future.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know how I know it's the end of the year? I was working from home on Wednesday, I think. And the last of township trucks were coming to pick up leaves. Prior to that, I frantically tell the guy who comes to our yard, you know, can you please come and do our leaves? Because I don't want to be saddled with piles of leaves all winter. And you know, I watch those trucks like a kid.
It is kind of fun to watch that. They're doing the best they can to try to get to everywhere. But, you know, the leaves all come down at once. So it's kind of hard to have our guys in every part of this big town at one time, but they're trying.
Right. And actually, what I took a friend to Beaver Dam Park, the one we just opened.
Uh-huh.
And you know how they mulched parts of it with leaf compost.
Right.
And I was telling him, look, this is where our leaves go. Like our leaves go to the...
They're recycled.
Right. And it's not just that, you know, when they collect leaves, they also collect other crap that people blow into the piles. And you can see that. Like maybe I'll go with the kids in a garbage bag and pull that out. Like little... you know, you can see it in the mulch even. But it's good to see how the township is repurposing both the Superfund site and the leaves that they collect.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, they actually took a lot of the concrete that was there and it made a lot of the walkways by actually taking that and breaking that down and using that for walkways. So we actually tried to repurpose as much of the things that we can on that property as an example of the right thing to do. And of course, got rid of all of the things that were contaminated. They've done that over the last 4 years. So it's actually a pretty good site.
And it's, I don't know if they're going to plant wildflowers where that mulch is now, but
they are.
Right. But right now it's open spot. And my son with his friend, they spent like an hour throwing frisbee there. and they enjoyed rolling around in that mulch too, and we had to wash both of them after that. So you were a pretty successful member of the Board of Education before you became mayor.
Yes.
And it's a very different role from Board of Education. What inspired you to run for mayor?
Well, the Board of Education, as you know, is also an elected position, and but it is a very different role than being mayor. There you're part of a group and there's no one individual. The buck stops with the board and they speak only as a group of nine. And while one person may be a president and run a meeting and decide on an agenda, at the end of the day, it's a group. Mayor is more of the buck stops here. And so the ability to get anything done is a little bit greater because it's set up in the same manner as sort of our state and federal government with a strong executive. So that's been a lot easier to get things done, but you also have to recognize that at the end of the day, you need to make those decisions. What inspired me was We were entering at that time a phase where it was critically important how we determine the future of the Route 18 corridor. And of course, that has so many implications when it comes to taxes and the vitality of that entire region. And so I thought the decisions at that point were critical. And it was a huge interest of mine, having lived here now for decades. And that's what inspired me to run. The school board at that time, again, we had a lot of really good people that were on the board. We were in a good place at that point, a new superintendent. There was a 3 to 5 year strategic plan that had already been developed. The schools were doing fine. It was the town that I felt needed to have some clear direction and a plan that everybody could buy into so that we don't falter or squander a great opportunity.
Right. And we made some progress in 2021, like the Edgeboro industrial zone, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I saw some construction started on Tysus.
Yeah,
what else? What did we achieve in 21?
The project on Edgeboro Road was a fulfillment center, which is sitting literally on a piece of property right next to the landfill, and which was producing virtually no tax revenue for the township. We were able to convert that into what now is going to be the FedEx building that most people have seen. They're doing a flurry of hiring right now, and that's just about to open. But that brings a fair amount of tax revenue to the town from, again, a spot that was providing next to nothing. So that one's pretty much ready to go. The other project is the one on Tice's Lane that you referenced, where the old Wonder Bread factory existed. That's about 25, 26 acres of property. And they just actually finished pouring some of the footings for the first building there. So seeing some of the work there go vertical should be something that we see within the next couple of weeks. I think that there's every intention for them to continue to work through the winter, barring some extraordinarily cold days. But with barring that, I think that we should start to see that start to come out from the ground as well. And then, of course, we've got the project on Route 18 that everybody sees from the highway and was the impetus for, you know, all of the redevelopment work that started even back before I was mayor. And in terms of developing those sites and designating them as redevelopment sites, that's a very slow and tedious process, which for the surge in me is very difficult sometimes to understand. But land use is a very slow and steady and difficultly long process. But we're getting there. We've got a named developer. We have, unfortunately, a couple of challenges in the court system that we're just about to finish getting some sort of decision. And with that, we're completely optimistic that that's going to go in our direction. We'll be able to start to see the developer pick up some of those properties, provide plans to the planning board in this year to come, and actually see some work there, even if the initial work is to just take down some of these dilapidated and blighted properties.
Right. And that's the Route 18 is the one, I forget what
it's. The Gap and the Wiz.
Right. That's where you see. Right, that's where you see boarded up windows at the moment, right? Yeah, that one will be really nice to see. It's kind of nice.
Unfortunately, the court system, as most of you know, was slowed down due to COVID. Right. So whatever slow process already exists in land use was made even slower with the pandemic. And I always tell people now that I've had the opportunity to really learn is that land use laws date back to our founding fathers. If you look through those land use codes, which are huge books, certainly something that would help most of you who can't sleep fall asleep at night if you actually wanted to read it for sport. But the reality is that they date back to the founding fathers, who were all landowners. So most land use law overwhelmingly favors land ownership. And so the ability for us to do redevelopment projects, the ability for us to move these things along at a faster pace, or at least the pace that I'd like to see it move at, is often restricted by that. And so we just have to accept there's a process and we need to follow it through.
Right. And then look how long it took North Brunswick. Did they even start on that train station? On that?
I know it's in plans, just like many things. But even what they have there now was something that was developed over a couple of decades. That didn't spring up overnight. Right. Sayreville has their redevelopment project that hasn't really gotten off the ground right by the waterfront. So these are just very long-term projects. You have to be in it for the long haul and be able to have a long-term strategic plan and stick to it.
Right. And of course, we can't just lurch back and forth depending on, you know.
You'll chase off developers if you start changing your plans midstream or look like you're not in it for the long haul, because that's the game they're used to playing. And if you're not willing to work with them in that type of framework, then they'll just go somewhere else.
Right. And that property on Tysis Lane, I was doing some homework before this recording. It's supposed to meet pretty much all of our affordable housing obligations, right?
When we had to settle our fair share housing obligation with the state back in 2000, we were given our number in 2015, like every township, but we settled in 2016 before I took office. That required us to build 315 affordable housing units. 115 of them alone are going to be in the Tysis Lane project. The handful will be on the Route 18 project, but the remainder have to be dispersed throughout the rest of the town. And that's law. Fair share housing doesn't want you to take your affordable obligation and segregate them to only one part of the town. That's their philosophy. It's being consistent and followed through throughout every single township in the state, which is why you often hear people complaining about new places going up near residential homes. Because Jersey's a densely populated state, there's only so many places you could build these things, and the courts do not want all of these types of units put in the same or one segregated section of town. So things you hear people complaining about here are being mimicked and copied and all throughout the state as we implement this requirement.
And some towns have co-workers in towns in North Jersey. They don't even have any land to build on. I don't know what they're doing.
Well, I think that the courts have had to recognize the capacity of each town for what they can and cannot build, what they've obligated themselves to in the past, and how they've kept up with that over the course of time. Fair share housing is just another way of saying the Mount Laurel decision, which was back in the 70s. And the whole goal here is to try to help people who are starting out with limited incomes to be able to stay here, get a foothold. And as they grow, they leave, and those homes become available for other people who are starting. We certainly don't want our youth leaving New Jersey.
Right.
We want to try to keep our talented people here. So we need to provide some way of making it more cost effective to live here. So I understand the process, and sometimes it seems unfair, but at the end of the day, I think it provides for a flourishing economy and everybody contributing, and that's really what we want.
Right. So what do you look forward to in the next year? We are recording this, 2 weeks before New Year's or so?
Yeah. Yeah, I think for 2022, I would like to see some of the work being done over at the Tysis Lane so that, again, we start to see the things go vertical, at least the first phase of their building. I really hope that we have our plans through and approved for the hockey rink, which was part of what was promised by that developer. They deeded back about a third of that property for a public purpose. We've indicated our intention on building a hockey rink, so we would like to see that start to get off the ground. So that would be my goal for that project. I really want to see some of these lawsuits in the rearview mirror in the early part of 22, so that the developers that have been named for Route 18 can come in, purchase property, start to demolish some of the blighted properties that are there, and hopefully start to even see first phase of their project get to the planning board so that the town could really see where that's going. And I think there's a flip side to development stuff, and that is there's parts of the town, as you know, where we're looking at trying to recapture some of our rural history and bring back some parks and walking areas and passive recreation for people to use in parts of the town that many people don't even know exist here and are absolutely beautiful. Right. And we did that with the Beaver Dam Park. We're looking again at the one that's near the Elks Lodge on Oakmont that sits right out on the lake. And then the town has a 26 to 27 acre piece of property by the Linder Farm off of Riva Avenue. And that has pristine views of the lake. So I think, again, that's also another area where we could look for providing some sort of passive recreation. So, you know, you're balancing the development that we're mandated and required to do and will help the ultimate long-term economic outlook for our township, but balancing that with providing some of the green space that we have here. And I think all of that combined helps make East Brunswick a really enjoyable area for people to live with lots of little nooks and crannies of places that people didn't even know exist here. For instance, a couple of weeks ago, the East Brunswick Arts Coalition highlighted Harvest Fest in the historic section of town that most people didn't even know was East Brunswick.
Right.
So I think that's my goal, is for people to rediscover East Brunswick and recognize a lot of the charms and treasures that we really have here. And I think we can do that.
Right. Well, on this note, thank you very much, Mayor, for recording, and Happy New Year.
Same to you.
Yep. And we'll talk later. All right. Bye.
Thanks.